Time to talk food, and we'll start with our weekly update from the team at Eat Out and Food 24 before talking to Lizime Matloga about her new cookbook, Dinner at Matloga's. Just a reminder that Eat Out and Food 24 are respectively the country's biggest online restaurant guide and biggest foodie community. So if you are looking for inspiration on where to dine out or what to do in your own kitchen, you are going to be spoiled for choice. Natalie Wilson is their head of food. It's always a pleasure to have you with us, Natalie. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Pippa. Hope you're well.
Yeah, you too. I'm doing very well, thanks. Natalie, before we talk, we've already got listeners weighing in on the issue of food waste. But before we get to that story on Food 24, first some restaurant news. You've got an article up on Eat Out about a sort of a check-in with the village of Franschhoek, which, of course, before lockdown was really establishing itself or had established itself as something of a foodie capital for the Western Cape. And that all changed when restaurants had to close their doors and when the deluge of foreign visitors dried up. Your team's done a sort of a one-year down-the-line check-in with them and written a very long and interesting piece reflecting on how the village has adapted. Would you say things are starting to recover there yet?
It's a bit of an interesting one. It's obviously things are opening up a little bit more and locals have been supporting more and more. But I think the overall feeling within Franschhoek is one of uncertainty. Yeah. It was a very, very reliant area on international tourism. That's just a fact of it. You know, there were restaurants that you couldn't get bookings in as a local, where now, you know, they're offering a much reduced service and reduced hours and reduced days because the demand is just not there. So it's been interesting. In our piece, we spoke to quite a few restaurateurs and a few wine estate folk who shared with us that really the sense is that they've all had to pivot their business model somehow and operate a lot more efficiently. Ruben Ripple particularly shared with us that efficiency was sort of the name of the game for his team, mm-hmm. and that it's going to be a while before they get back to the sort of glory days of very very busy business and a lot of footfall. Yeah. So that's been a real challenge for the market there. And of course, as things get colder now in the winter months, fewer and fewer people are going to be going to visit for things like picnics. So that's been the thing that's been keeping everyone afloat on the weekends.
Yeah.
So we'd encourage listeners, if they, you know, if they want to support restaurants and wine farms in Franschhoek, to consider doing so and planning trips and really making conscious choices to go to those spaces, because they really need our support.
I mean, interesting. I know they had their Bubbles Festival earlier this month, the sort of first sign of a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel in terms of big events coming back again. But it's a long way to go yet. Natalie, the one positive thing we can look to when we consider what's happened in Franschhoek in the past year is the community response to the impact of lockdown, and not just the loss of jobs in the restaurant industry, but the entire community feeling the pinch because of the massive job losses linked to lockdown. You reflect on that in the piece as well.
Yes, so there's an initiative which was undertaken called Together Franschhoek, and really that's been revolving around volunteerism, so locals volunteering to feed those in need, food kitchens and so on and so forth, and we obviously know also of the great work that this Isabello charity does in Franschhoek too. So that work continues and that need continues, and if anything is greater than ever before. But as you're saying about events, we've just heard today that it sounds like the Bastille Day events are going to be happening this year again.
Great.
in Franschhoek. So we're hopefully going to share some more detail about that in the coming weeks.
I'm a Bastille Day birthday baby, so I'm very pleased to hear that indeed, Natalie.
Great.
Thanks for the heads up, and keep us posted once more information is available, please. So that is the article reflecting on how Franschhoek has adapted. That'll you'll find on the Eat Out website. Up on Food 24 is a really interesting piece on reducing food wastage in your own home. Always a pertinent topic. We know that about a third of all the food that we produce never reaches our plate. So much is lost in the production process, in transport, in the retail stores themselves. And then you only start considering what we throw away in our own kitchens. The WWF tells us it's 10 million tons of food wasted in South Africa alone. And Natalie, that'll give you indigestion. I think you'd have to be very heartless not to think of that with huge distaste, given what we know about how many homes are without decent food supply.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? 10 million tons. I mean, it's just nuts. And it's not a unique problem to South Africa, but, you know, we have our part to play as consumers in our homes in South Africa. you know, we've seen a Verdo, a waste management company locally, they estimate that about 44% of that is vegetables and fruits.
Yeah.
So that's a space that we can focus our efforts on and really make a difference. So yeah, we've pulled together an article with some tips to help listeners on with ideas on how to reduce that food waste and really plan their meals a little bit more carefully.
You know, Natalie, it's a topic that's very close to my heart. As I mentioned at the start of the show, and as I've said many times before on air, my late grandmother was absolutely obsessive about not wasting anything, but particularly food. And, you know, it comes from a childhood that included war years and times of great deprivation. I'm sure there are many other people who will relate to that. One of our listeners already messaging me to say both of her parents came from farming families in Ireland, where her father had 12 siblings and her mum had 8. I had 8 siblings on the farm. There was no wastage, and I'm still very frugal, is the comment. I think a lot of people have been informed by somebody who has been through deprivation and realizes the value of what some people throw away without a second thought. But as you say, that 44% fresh produce figure is a really, really distressing one. I mean, it's easy to say only buy what you need for the day, but it comes down to good planning and planning sort of the week's meals in advance and not buying more than you need. Beyond that, though, what other strategies do you suggest for managing the food waste in our own kitchens?
Yes, absolutely right. So there are ways that we can try and reduce that that output from our homes. I know, I don't know about you, but I feel absolutely sick throwing anything in the bin that could have been used. It's just like a moral failing. really making sure that you know what's in the fridge and repurposing food before it goes off is a really big one. So you can use wilted veggies in soups or stews, or make comfort food. Something that I do at home is just about once a week or once every 2 weeks, we clear out the veg drawer and make a frittata. You know, you just need to throw in some eggs, any veg you've got lying around. And even if it's a bit wilted, it's still good to eat. So that's a great way of getting your veg up and also making sure that doesn't end up in the bin. We also look at storing food correctly, and we've got another article on the site that tells you a bit more about that. But interestingly, milk should actually be stored at the back of the fridge on the bottom shelf. And most people put it in the door, which is actually the warmest part of the fridge. So if you find that you're continuously throwing out milk because it's spoiling towards the end of the bottle, then you buy a smaller, you know, if you're going from a 2 litre down to a 1 litre, and also think about storing it at the back of the fridge so it lasts longer. And freezing, of course, if you can freeze what you can. Some households don't believe in this, but we're definitely a frozen bread household on my side.
Me too.
So it takes up a lot of freezer space, but it's important because you don't end up throwing up half the loaf, which is always heartbreaking. And then leftovers. You know, if you are going to make enough, cook enough that you've got leftovers, make sure that you use them up and you have a plan for how you're going to use them up. And that might be for another meal another day, for a lunchtime the next day. And if you're going into work or working from home, you know, thinking about your meals more consciously and making good decisions. And then our last bit of advice is really that composting is a great way to make sure that at least the energy and the nutrients from that food perhaps sees life again, and rather going into landfill, you could start a compost pile, or, you know, some people look at bokashi, which is, you know, involves worms, it's a whole thing. It doesn't have to be super complicated. You can go as complex as you want, but it's a great way of returning and closing that cycle of the nutrients going back into the soil.
Natalie, I'm so glad you've raised and highlighted this issue. It is such an important one, and one I hope that everybody starts to take more seriously going forward. So that article is up on the Food24 website if you're looking for some inspiration. I'm totally with you on the bread in the freezer. You take out what you need. If necessary, you defrost it in the microwave. You pop it straight into the toaster or the snackwich machine, and it's as good as if it was fresh. And you will never end up throwing away another piece of stale or moldy bread ever again. That's my 2 cents worth. I'm on the same page as you. Natalie Wilson, Head of Food at Food24 and Eat Out. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Pepe.
Chat again next week. Food24 and Eat Out. Reminder, once again, they are this country's biggest foodie platforms and restaurant guides. So check them out for that article and much more, anything to do with the food cycle.